Good morning, and welcome to the Spirit of Grace, where God's Word and message are brought to you by Grace Lutheran Church in New Albany, Indiana.
The Holy Gospel according to St. Luke, the 24th chapter. That same day, two of them were on their way to a village called Emmaus, about 7 miles outside of Jerusalem. They were talking with each other about all the things that had happened. And as they were talking and discussing these things with each other, Jesus himself came up and walked alongside of him, although they were kept from recognizing him. He asked them, "What are you discussing together as you walk along?" They stood still with their faces downcast. One, named Cleopas, asked him, "Are you only a visitor in Jerusalem and do not know the things that have happened there in these days?" "What things?" he said. "About Jesus of Nazareth," they replied. "He was a prophet, powerful in word and in deed, before God and all the people. The chief priests and our rulers handed him over to be put to death, and they crucified him. But we had hoped that he would be the one to redeem Israel. And what is more, it is now the third day since these things have happened. And in addition, some of our women amazed us. They went to the tomb this morning, but they did not find his body. They came and told us that they had seen a vision of angels who had said, 'He is alive.' Then some of our companions went to the tomb and they found it just as the women had said. But him they did not see." Jesus said to them, "How foolish you are, and how slow to believe all that the prophets have spoken. Did not the Christ have to suffer these things and then enter into his glory? And beginning with Moses and all the prophets, he explained to them all that the scriptures had said concerning himself." As they came to the village to which they were going, Jesus acted as though he was going to go further. But they strongly urged him, "Stay with us. It is nearly evening and the day is almost over." So he went in to stay with them. As he sat down at the table with them, he took bread, gave thanks, broke it, and began to give it to them. And then their eyes were opened, and they recognized him, and he disappeared from their sight. They said to one another, "Were not our hearts burning within us as he talked to us along the road, and as he opened the scriptures to us?" They got up and at once returned to Jerusalem. There they found the 11 and the others with them, all assembled together and saying, "It is true, the Lord is risen, and he appeared to Simon." Then the two told what had happened along the way and how Jesus had been recognized by them when he broke the bread. This is the gospel of our Lord. Grace, mercy, and peace be to you from God our Father, through our Lord, and our risen Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Dear friends in Christ Jesus, He is risen.
He is risen indeed.
Hallelujah. If you met a person who said to you, "I'm really enjoying my time in Louisville," you would know right away that that's not a local person. That's got to be a visitor, because no one who lives around here would ever call it Louisville. If you had a person say to you, "I'm going to Louisville tomorrow," well, that's probably a transplant. Like Pastor and I, we all say Louisville. But if you had someone say to you, "My doctor's office is out on the east end of Louisville," well, now we're talking. Now you know you're not only talking to a local, but someone who's been born and bred in Louisville. That's how they would say it. You know, the same thing is true about that town on the way to Lexington. The first time I went over there, I said, "We're going to go through Versailles." And somebody looked at me and they said, "It's Versailles." And I said, "It's Versailles in France." They said, "Yeah, but in Kentucky, it's Versailles." And the same is true. I had a kindergarten teacher who worked with me when I was principal, and she had grown up in what I would call Vincennes, Indiana, but that's not how she said it. She was a local. She said Vincennes. You know, the way it is, if you say it wrong, people might say to you, "Are you only a visitor here?" In our text for today, two men are walking on the road to Emmaus. It's about a 7-mile walk. That'd be from here up to Highlander Point. They're walking slowly. They're talking quietly. They're obviously puzzled. And all at once, there's a third person walking with them. They don't recognize this one, but that one says, "What are you talking about as you're walking along the road?" And they stop and they stare at the tops of their feet. They glance at each other, then one of them says, "Are you only a visitor here in Jerusalem and do not know the things that have happened here? Are you only a visitor?" See, that's a loaded question. That has some implications that come with it. And in addition, that's a legitimate question to ask ourselves. Are we only visitors with the Lord? Now and again, we're with them, and then we're not. Now and again, we come to check him out, and then we're not. Do we know everything that the Scriptures say about him? Or are we just sort of temporary in that regard? Are we all in with Jesus? Or are we just passing through? Those are the things we want to talk about this morning. Now, when they say to him, "Are you only a visitor?" they really mean to imply, how could you not know these things? Now let's suppose if I say to you, first Saturday in May, well, if you live in the Louisville area, you know right away what I'm talking about. First Saturday in May, except for this year, is always the Kentucky Derby. But let's suppose that there's a husband and wife that live in North Dakota, and they're planning a vacation trip for a week in Gatlinburg, Tennessee. And so their plan is they're going to leave North Dakota and they're going to drive all day, going to put in a long day, and they're going to stay at a motel someplace in the Louisville area. And it's the first Saturday in May. They get to Louisville, worn out and tired out from a long day's journey, and then they discover they cannot find a motel room anywhere in the area. In fact, if there was one available, it'd be $300-$400 for a night. And they go, "What's the deal? What's going on? What's happening?" And somebody would say to them, "Are you only a visitor? Today's the day they run the ponies. It's the Kentucky Derby." And they'd go, "We didn't know. We're only visitors." Those two men can hardly believe that this stranger doesn't know what's happened in Jerusalem during this week. Just a week earlier, on Palm Sunday, The whole city was abuzz. Is he coming? Is he not? Is Jesus of Nazareth coming? Is the miracle worker going to be here? And then they hear the pilgrims on their way up to Jerusalem, and they're singing, Hosanna, and they're singing, Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. And there he is. There's Jesus of Nazareth riding on a donkey. And there's this tumultuous crowd and palm branches and robes thrown in the streets. And the whole city was abuzz. What's going to happen? What's he coming for? What's all this singing about? How could you be in Jerusalem and not know what was going on? And then the next 3 days, there's all kinds of confrontations. Jesus comes to the temple and casts out the money changers and casts out the animal sellers. And the authorities come to him and say, by what authority do you do these things? And then there's the Sadducees and the Pharisees and the Herodians. Everybody comes. They're all trying to trip Jesus up. There's confrontation after confrontation. How could you be a Jew and in Jerusalem and not know what things are going on? And then comes Thursday night, Friday morning. Two trials, both of them shams. One before the Jewish council, the other one before the Roman governor Pilate. And then how Jesus is condemned, how he was whipped, how he was made to carry his cross down the Via Dolorosa to that little town, that little hill outside the city, Golgotha. How they crucified Jesus there, how he hung there, suspended between heaven and earth, and how he died, and how he was laid in a tomb. And if he's coming out of Jerusalem that morning walking with them, how could he not be aware of the buzz that's going on even that morning yet? Rumors of an empty tomb. Rumors of a risen Lord. How could you not be aware? They must think to themselves, this guy has to be a visitor. And not a very observant one at that. The next thing we hear is we hear these two men saying to each other, were not our hearts burning within us? As he spoke to us on the road and opened the scriptures to us. Folks, we have a resource in the Missouri Synod, a real gem. His name is Dr. Reed Lessing. First time I heard him talk was at a pastor's conference here in Louisville. And he was talking about the book of Isaiah. And I listened to him for an hour and a half, and I think I could have listened to him for 12 hours. He just unpacked that book. He just opened it up. He's an Old Testament scholar and just a gem for us all. And I think to myself, as excited as I was to have him unpack and open up the scriptures for me, what would it have been like to walk those 7 miles with our Savior? What would it have been like to have Jesus open up the Old Testament and begin with Moses and all the prophets to show all these prophecies, prophecy after prophecy after prophecy, that Jesus Christ had fulfilled? What would that have been like? No wonder they say our hearts were burning within us. And the thing was, that stuff was all there from the beginning. It was all there, and they were just not aware of it. They were only visitors in the scriptures. As well as they may have thought they knew them, as much as they may have memorized some, they were still only visitors to the scriptures. They hadn't yet lived in them, and now Jesus had opened that up for them. And yeah, their hearts were burning within them. It's the same thing that happens in Pentecost. About 4 weeks from now, we'll be celebrating Pentecost Sunday. And the Holy Spirit does for the apostles at Pentecost what Jesus did for these two on the road to Emmaus. He opens up the scriptures. They brings to remembrance all that they had heard, all that they had remembered, all that they had seen. And those guys, they're just lit up. All at once, it seemed to them, they went, oh, I get it. Oh, that's why Jesus did. That's why Jesus said that. That's what he meant when it all just came flooding into them. And the next thing you know, these guys are changed. This group of disciples that were hiding in that upper room for days, the ones who were afraid of their own shadows, after Pentecost, They're not afraid of anybody. They stand before the Jewish council, and they are not afraid of what they say at all. They stand before kings and princes and emperors, and they speak the truth because they're all on fire for Christ. Now they get it. Now, once they've gotten it, it's a marvelous thing to behold. They have an absolute understanding of their purpose in life, and they let nothing, even the threat of death, they let nothing dissuade them because their hearts are on fire within them. They know Jesus in a way that a visitor couldn't. So, we need to ask ourselves today too. Are we just visitors here? Are we just visitors? When I lived in Evansville, we knew all kinds of Kentucky jokes. Oh, the jokes were always about Kentucky. So when we came here with Kentucky just across the river, my sons and I, you know, we tried out some of our favorite Kentucky jokes, and man, did they fall flat. And I thought about it a little bit, and I thought, why is that? Over there, they all loved them, and here, not so much. And I realized, yeah, in Evansville, all the people that lived in Kentucky came over to the Indiana side to go to work. That's where they got their paychecks. But here, a lot of people go across the river. They earn their money there, and you don't bite the hand that feeds you. There's no quicker way to find out that you're a visitor here or a newbie than making a joke about the place where you earn your bread. So, how about you? Are you family? Are you a visitor? Now, some of you, maybe it's been a while since you were in a church building. Maybe you sort of tuned in today or you caught us a week ago and you thought, well, I'm going to listen again. And for some of you who have sat in these pews for many, many years, you've got to ask yourself, am I family or am I just a visitor? How much do I dig in? How much do I listen? How much did I know? How much do I apply? See, for any of us, we have those times in our lives where we become visitors, where we just sort of slide in and slide out. We come now and again, and you know, it's a part of our experience, but it's not central to what we're living. Church life. For a lot of us right now, we're suffering a little bit. We're suffering a little bit because we're used to being around here. We're here used to being with others who believe in the Lord Jesus as we do, others who know what we're about and who love to worship the Lord. We're all separated from one another now, and it seems weird. It's not the way it's supposed to be. We're supposed to be together. We're supposed to be a family. We are so blessed to have each other. And this period of forced separation reminds us how blessed we are. How blessed we are to have a Savior who comes and opens up our hearts and sets our hearts on fire and shows us Himself in the Old Testament, shows Himself in what He does for us, what He achieves for us, how He gives Himself for us. So we got to ask ourselves, do we know Jesus or do we know of Jesus? There's a difference, you see. Knowing Jesus means that you understand what He's done, what He's given, that you dig a little deeper. And so I want to encourage you all, whether you're a regular church goer or whether you're sort of new to all of this, if you really want to know Jesus, you've got to read a little bit, got to get into it. Read those scriptures. Pick up some good Christian literature, a catechism. It's a great thing to have. That it opens your eyes, opens your heart, shows you Jesus in a new and a better way. And don't be afraid to ask questions. Even if you think maybe it's a dumb question, that maybe it indicates that you're a visitor, those are the very best questions to ask. There's a couple of us here that like nothing better than talking with you about the Word. And so if you come up with a question, send us an email, give us a call, send a text, go to the website and leave a message. We'll do our best to get back to you, and we'll do our best to open up those scriptures to you too so that you know Jesus better. And pray. Pray that the Lord will continue to walk with you and open your hearts too. Pray that you want to know him better. Ask the Lord, because he likes nothing better than giving you these gifts. The Holy Spirit, his whole job is always to point you to Jesus, because when you know Jesus, that's where you find life. And so pray that the Holy Spirit would open up your heart, open up your mind, and show you Jesus better. And then continue to worship, whether it's here in the house when that time comes or now through the internet. Worship the Lord, because the more we're involved in those things, the deeper you go into Jesus, the more Jesus becomes a part of you, and the more you feel like family and not a visitor. Invite Jesus to walk with you along your path. Invite him to come and teach about himself and about the things of God. I read a book recently about exploration. It's the history of exploration from the earliest to the most modern exploration. And in there, I read a story about a woman I'd never heard of before. Her name is Alexandra David-Nael. She was about a 5-foot-tall French woman who was absolutely in love with Asia, in particular, Tibet. Now, this is 1911, was her first trip there. And she was so taken by the people, by the beauty of Tibet. But you have to understand, in 1911, Tibet was a closed kingdom. They didn't allow foreigners in, and most particularly, it did not allow any foreign women to come into Tibet. So she became a student. She began to study the customs. She began to learn the language. She began to learn about Buddhism. She learned these things, and in the meantime, also adopted a son named Yongden. Her aim was that she wanted to travel through the country of Tibet to the capital, to Lhasa. But she got into that country and they expelled her, and the British found out about it. And the British, of course, were in India, just below Tibet. And so the British deported her and her son and sent him back to France. But she wasn't going to be turned away. She and Yongden went all the way around to China and went through the whole nation of China, all the way to the border of Tibet, up the river valleys, dressed as though they were the lowest class of Tibetans, spoke the language, immersed herself in everything, darkened her skin, bleached her hair, or colored her hair at one point. She became like one of them. She immersed herself in their culture, and she was the first European woman to ever see the city of Lhasa, where the Dalai Lama lived. She got there and got out again. Now, folks, you have to understand, had she been discovered as being a foreign woman there, she very likely would have been killed. At the very least, she would probably have been imprisoned for years there. She was taking a chance. But in order to be known not as a visitor, she immersed herself in everything Tibetan. So she became, in essence, one of them. When you see these two men, they're walking on the way to Emmaus, dejected and confused. It's when Jesus comes to them and he opens their hearts and he opens the scriptures to them and they immerse themselves in those things, they become one with him, no longer visitors. You and I, the more we immerse ourselves in the things of God, the more we get to know Jesus, the deeper in we become, the less we find ourselves as visitors, and the more we become family. And so may the Lord lead and guide you in that. May you find joy in that discovery, in that immersion. And may you become more and more the family of Christ. In his name, amen.
Jesus came forth to be born of a virgin, dwelt among men, my example is he. The Word became flesh and the light shined among us, his glory revealed. Living he loved me, dying he saved me, buried he carried my sins far away. One day he's coming. Oh, glorious day. Oh, glorious day.
This is Pastor Matthew Woods from Grace Lutheran Church here in New Albany, Indiana. And I want to say thank you for joining us here at the Spirit of Grace and our broadcast each week here from Grace Lutheran Church. I'm grateful that we've been able to worship with you and to fellowship with you in this way. As we look ahead, we are always grateful for the means that technology offers. And so it has been our prayer and our consideration because of circumstances here of late that we are considering a new course for our ministry at Grace, that we will be now turning towards an online presence. I'm sorry to say that means that we will be ending our radio broadcasts at the end of our contract in June, and we will be moving our attention to the online, to our webpage at glcna.com. Again, that's glcn, as in Nancy, A as in Albert.com. We hope you can join us there, or perhaps even our Facebook page for future broadcasts after June. But again, we pray that the Lord would bless you, and we pray that you continue to be able to find us on those websites, and that you'd be able to tune in and be blessed to join us in our worship together. In the meantime, the Lord be with you and give you his peace. Thank you for being with us.